So, as we heard, Donald Trump will not be at the Republican candidate forum tonight in New Hampshire, but he seems to be everywhere else, including perhaps wandering through Carlos Lozada's dreams. The Washington Post nonfiction book critic binge-read 8 of Trump's 17 books last week, memoirs and business advice books, in total more than 2,200 pages of Trump. Carlos, give us the headline.
Well, you know, I thought that the experience of book writing would maybe temper Donald Trump a little bit, would render him more reflective, more thoughtful. But what I realized is that it doesn't dilute him at all. It sort of concentrates him. It makes him Trumpier. So he goes after anyone who's ever wronged him. He's constantly boasting about how everything he owns, everything he touches is the best, the biggest, the most beautiful. And pretty much everyone in the world is divided into either class acts or total losers.
Well, that may not surprise people who follow Donald Trump. That is how he presents himself in real life. But what do we learn about him? Start with his business dealings, because you write, you encountered a world where bragging is breathing, insulting is talking, vengefulness and insecurity erupt at random. But you have books like The Art of the Deal, 1987. What do we learn, if anything, about Donald Trump, businessman?
You know, one thing that's interesting, early in his career, before he was such a brand name, before he was so well known as a real estate developer, he had to convince potential partners and companies that he was really worth their time. So he would very purposely sort of play to people's fantasies and engage in what he called truthful hyperbole. So, for instance, he's trying to convince the board of directors of a company that a construction site he's working on where he's building a hotel is much further along than it really is. So when they're going to go visit, he, for example, will have the construction crew just go back and forth, digging holes, refilling them, digging them again to make it seem like this illusion of a very active site. And of course, they bought it. His whole career, he talks about how the aura that you develop around yourself is as important as the reality. He says it's an innocent form of exaggeration.
Well, you know, it's funny. The people who are polled who say they like Donald Trump, what they do like about him is his bluster and his sense of confidence. But you read something like that and you wonder, do you want a president who would seem more like the Wizard of Oz? You know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
You know, what's interesting, because people do say that they relate to him in some way. One thing I found interesting is how sort of isolated he is from the rest of the world. Presidents often complain about being trapped in a bubble, right? How they can't connect to ordinary people. In Trump's case, he seems to have erected that bubble very deliberately. He talks about how he's worked in the same building where he lives. Even his show was shot in the same building where he spends most of his time. When he's not there, when he's outside, he's in a limo or a jet or a helicopter. And he says the only time he's really outside a lot is when he's at a golf course. So it is a pretty isolated existence that doesn't seem terribly relatable.
Well, does it seem presidential?
Well, you know, he is presidential in some ways, maybe not in the ways that people would prefer. He's incredibly reluctant to admit mistakes. He's very confrontational with the news media. And he comes off in his business dealings as a serious micromanager. He says he would bring that to the presidency as well. In one of his books, he talks about how if he became president, he would appoint himself as the U.S. trade representative and personally negotiate all the trade deals with the world. So in that case, you know, is that presidential? Maybe for some who have been accused of trying to meddle too much and not be able to deal with the layers that come with the job.
What do you think? You're a reviewer, not a psychologist. But what do you think?
If
people were to read these books, would the people who like him even more when he trashes everyone, for instance, a former Miss Universe for gaining weight? He meets a one-star general and asks, how come you're only a one-star? He calls the
right.
Rolling Stones a bunch of major jerks. Will they like that even more? Or when it's laid out in print, will it maybe dull the attraction?
I suspect that it will, as with many of these things, tend to reinforce people's feelings. I've gotten a lot of reaction to the piece I wrote in the Post that appeared this Sunday. And people who love Trump continue loving Trump and find things in these writings that reinforce their beliefs. People who are wary of Donald Trump read what I have written and say, oh, my God, how could this guy possibly be at the top of the GOP field? So I suspect it'll play to people's pre-existing biases.
But you say that while the books brought out in you revulsion, amusement, and confusion, there was also respect. Respect for what?
Well, he's very dedicated to his work. Certainly early in his career, this is a guy who worked round the clock and was very, very devoted to what he was doing. He's clearly had success in this field. He's found ways to extend the brand, whether into television and certainly into books. So that definitely, I think, deserves some respect.
Well, and if they don't want to wade through all eight books, we'll link them to your article. Carlos Lozada, nonfiction book critic for The Washington Post, thank you.
Thank you very much.